this. Okay, never used this before. So I guess since I'm the English teacher, I will explain what reckless is for those who don't know. So this definition I found of a person or their actions without thinking or caring about the consequences of an action. Or other words, reckless means to not think about the danger or the outcome of what you're doing. And you're still doing the action anyway, like drinking and driving, or texting while driving, or texting while walking. Some things are reckless, like Taryn said, marrying the person you just met, or maybe a two-year-old who's just learning how to walk, running down the Owen stairs. Reckless is when you go, I don't think that's a good idea, before the action is accomplished. Like if you get a Facebook message from a prince in Nigeria who says that he wants to give you $1 million, all he needs is your bank account information. Listening to that guy is reckless.
Another example is, so I saw this ad on Facebook saying free designer's watch. Have you encountered that? Like free designer's watch. Like watch, like this one. So I clicked it and browsed through the site, and guess what? This was real. This was legit. The feedbacks were good, customers were satisfied, the watches were delivered. A little bit of delay, like 6 to 7 weeks delay. That's not long. But the watches arrived, and the best part was the free part. The free part was real, okay? You don't have to pay for the watch, zero. So how was this reckless? Well, I got the watch, right here. I bought the watch without consulting my wife. Later on, I found out that the watch was free. I didn't pay for the watch, zero. But I paid for the shipping fee. Guess how much? $9.99. That's like 500 plus pesos for a shipping fee. So out of my recklessness, without consulting my wife, I ended up paying $9.99 for a watch that only worked for 1 week. It's not working anymore. I'm just wearing it because I feel guilty. I feel like it was wasted, so I just should just wear it, you know, and as a bracelet. Okay? So if you haven't consulted your wife in online purchases, consider yourself reckless. Okay? So to do something reckless is to do something without fear, or out from the definition that Ingrid said. So today, we're going to talk about reckless love. So what does it look like to love recklessly? What is reckless love? According to John, in his first letter, he says that perfect love, true love, has no fear. C.S. Lewis writes, to love is to be vulnerable. Say vulnerable. All of this to say is to love is to be reckless. And we aren't talking about romantic love here. This is love, God's perfect love, or agape.
So how does God love recklessly? And John says again in the passage that he says this is how God showed his love, this reckless love, is that he sent his only son into the world for us. And this is love, not that we loved God, but he still loved us even before we loved him. That love, it's reckless or stupid. When people complain to me, they worry to me that, you know, I feel like I'm a burden to God or the kingdom, or God's probably so frustrated with me or annoyed with me because, or impatient with me because I'm just always messing up. And I always like to point to the scripture. The scripture is like the biggest example. The entire story of God is the biggest example of how reckless God is in loving us humans. I mean, we can point to the cross like John did. Or we can point to David, an adulterer, Moses, a murderer, Abraham, a liar. I mean, God loves to use losers, okay? And you can even see it in your own life. But when people talk to me about this, I like to point to them to the book of Judges. for me, this book is a funny book, and it's also very frustrating because Judges goes through this cycle. It starts with the peace in the land, Israel serves the Lord, then the judge dies, and Israel does evil in the eyes of the Lord. God punishes Israel, Israel is enslaved, Israel's cry out to the Lord, God raises up a judge, Israel is delivered, and there's peace in the land until the judge dies, and then they're evil all over again and again and again. For me, too many times for that to happen. In the book of Judges, it happens about 12 times in the course of 400-ish years, which if you do the math, that's about one judge every 30-odd years if it was perfect. So how do you forget that fast? How do you forget that God delivered you, and then you praise God, and then you go right back to exactly what you were doing, to the same mistakes over and over again over the course of 400 years? That's just crazy. But what's more crazy is that God continued to rescue them. He continued to let this cycle going, even though he knew that the cycle would continue. God's love is reckless because he continued to save them. He continues to save us. He continues to choose to love us, even when he knows the outcome of our choices. He continues to love us, even when he knows that our choices are going to bring us hurt and him heartache. And he still chooses to love us, to trust us, even when he knows that we are going to be unfaithful.
This year, the theme of our chapel is Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. Why fix our eyes on him? Is that to only concentrate on him and don't worry about the problems of the world? I don't think so. We fix our eyes on Jesus because he is our model. He is the model of true love. We are trying to be like him. So the question is, how can we strive to be like Christ if we don't obsess with his every movement, actions, and words? The most important characteristic of Christ that makes him different from everyone or anyone in this world is his reckless love. So if we are fixing our eyes on Christ and we are desiring to be like him, now my question is to you, and you can throw this question also to the person next to you, are you also reckless in your love to others? John, our scripture, verse 11 to 13, it says here, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his spirit." Verse 16 says, "God is love. We love each other because if God lives through each of us, as verse 16 says, God is love, we can see God when we love each other." That's crazy to think about. When we love recklessly, others see God. Have you ever thought of that? Have you realized that? How you love another can be seen by another. How you love can be seen by others. Now, if you were going to ask yourself, what has people seen in you? What kind of love has people observed from you? Is it the love of Christ that people see in you when they look at you? When I choose to love those who have hurt me over and over again, others see God. And the way you love, like what I said, is a testimony. I just love what Sir Larry said earlier. He said that the issue is still there. He knows that the garbage is going to keep coming. But I like that he keeps also going back, cleaning the creek. That's an example of a reckless love for the creek, we could say. How can we do that? How can we love without fear of betrayal? Here's the issue. Now, how can we love without fear of betrayal, fear of pain, fear of gossip, fear of teasing, fear of whatever negative outcome? In other words, how do you love, now here's the big issue, how do you love someone who is going to betray you? How do you love someone who's going to hurt you? How do you love someone who talks behind you, who gossips about you? How do you love someone who constantly teases you and puts you down? Is it even possible? It is. We can. My mom has made a lot of choices that has impacted our family significantly. And because of those choices, she had to run away. She had to leave us. And for the past few years, actually, we just had a rest 3 years ago, but for my entire life, I remember my dad chasing my mom around the country. And it's not figurative, it's literal. Because my mom would run away, but my dad wants us to be intact as a family. And so many times my dad would chase my mom, and he would bring us together, and then my mom would make a certain decision that would impact us, and then she would be gone the next day, and my dad would be gone the next day, because he had to follow him. Over and over, my dad continues to follow mom. And there was a point, please forgive us, we were bad children. We told dad, "Dad, stop chasing her. Let her go. Go back to our hometown. You have an inheritance waiting for you there. Life will be more comfortable. Life will be less stressful. Let mom be. I'm not saying that you should divorce, but just let her go." But up to today, my dad is still with my mom. And sometimes we don't understand it, but I think that is God's reckless love living in my father's heart. All this time, we have this power to share Christ in a living, real, and authentic way by loving recklessly, by loving each other.
When Terrence, around Valentine's Day, he confessed his feelings to me. So I guess that was 2 years.
2 years ago today.
Yeah. I suggested that we go on 40 days of prayer and fasting before I would make a final decision, because I didn't want to make a decision based on emotion. So he agreed, and for the next 40 days, we fasted social media, and we did devotionals together every single night, even when he was in Papua New Guinea and the internet was horrible. And you could see what decision we made after the 40 days. But even after the 40 days, we decided we really enjoyed our nightly devotion, so we continued it. And even today, we're almost 1 year married, and we still do our devotions together. And so what I'm going to say, I'm going to read to you a part of the book we're reading right now. The book we're reading is called Sacred Marriage, What If God Designed Our Marriage to Be Holy, Not Happy? And there's a story there that really touched us. Usually we read just portions. And we read like 3 nights worth of portions because we wanted to see the ending of the story, because it made me cry. But the story is too long to share the whole thing, so I cut it down for you. So let me share with you now. It's the story of Tim and Leslie. "Leslie, I'm leaving you." Spoken by a man to whom she'd entrusted her life, her body, her deepest secrets and intimacies. And now Tim, Leslie's husband, was telling Leslie that he couldn't stand to be around her anymore. "You can't leave me," Leslie lamented. "I am. I don't love you anymore. I haven't loved you for a long time." "You're not wearing your wedding ring. Does that mean you're going to start dating?" "Yes," Tim replied. "Do you know who?" "Yes, but I'm not leaving you for anyone in particular. You and I aren't right for each other. I've been living a lie all these years, and I'm tired of it." "Tim, please, won't you just stay the night, just one night?" "I can't." Leslie began to feel herself losing control. She didn't become hysterical, but the tears already started to take over, and she lost her composure. She held on until Tim drove away. Then she became hysterical. The sobs that came up from within her were deep and pervasive. Leslie knelt down on a chair to pray, but there was still too much agony inside her. She simply couldn't pray on her own. Days, weeks, months, years had passed since Tim left Leslie, and there were times depression would creep up on her, bringing a good dose of fear with it, especially as Tim's new wedding day drew near. But then there was no other way for Leslie to describe it. The Lord would take her face in his hands and say, "Leslie, Leslie, look at me, look at me." As the marital breakup began to appear more permanent, Leslie began to grieve anew. She berated herself at times, blaming herself, thinking that if only I had done something differently, Tim wouldn't have left. "That's not true," she sensed God telling her. "I loved him perfectly, and he's left me too." 3 years had passed, and Leslie still wore her wedding ring. And while some Christians felt that she should just let go, the ring was a sign of a covenant Leslie had made, not just with Tim, but with God. The wedding ring didn't represent my love for Tim anymore, Leslie says. The old love was dead, but it represented my commitment before the Lord, the one whom I said till death do us part. Right up until the day Tim remarried, Leslie wore her wedding ring and prayed for reconciliation. By remaining faithful in the midst of unfaithfulness, her eyes were opened to God's presence and a new way. As a special blessing, 2 years after Tim left Leslie, Leslie's father called her on the phone. "I've watched what you've gone through," he said. "I've seen how you've reacted, and I want what you have." This was a profoundly moving conversation for Leslie, for like Tim, her father had been unfaithful to his wife, Leslie's mother, leaving Leslie to grow up with the pain of a broken home. But all the anguish began to melt away as Leslie went through the Romans Road with her father in a hotel room, and her father knelt down and prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior at the age of 62.
What a beautiful story. Tragic, but beautiful. There was so much more to that story, and there was so much important elements that we just cut. But because of time, of course, we cannot share everything to you. But what can you say about Leslie's love for Tim? If you were Leslie's friend, and Leslie's husband is getting married tomorrow, and she's still wearing the wedding ring, what would you say? Are you crazy? What are you doing? He's getting married tomorrow. But Leslie wore the wedding ring up until the wedding day. And I love that part that Ingrid read, that where Leslie said the wedding ring doesn't represent his old love for Tim anymore. And I think that's also a reminder to all of us who got married that we made that covenant not just to our partners, but we made that covenant for God. And to some, Leslie looked insane and crazy, but she held on to her covenant. And because of that, she felt God's presence in a new way. Leslie's love for Tim was reckless. She had every right to let go. Every time I think of the story, I was a bit teary. Ingrid cried a lot when we read that. But every time I imagine it, I can't imagine if I was in Leslie's position. The next day I wake up, Ingrid already packed her suitcase saying, "I'm going to leave you." I know that's not going to happen. I'm confident. But imagine your situation in Leslie's place. That's really painful. But to hold on to a promise that she made not just to Tim, but to God up until the contract is over, that's pretty amazing. It wasn't romantic love, as we can see, that Leslie was holding on to. Clearly, she made that covenant also with God. And here's the best part, and I don't know if you listened, but who saw that reckless love? Who saw Leslie's reckless love? Her father saw that. He saw the love. He saw God in Leslie. He saw the living God through his daughter and was like, at that time, "I want that. I need that. I need that now." How can we love like Leslie, who continued to love a man who betrayed her with no hope of reconciliation? Or in other words, how can we love like God, who we continue to hurt, who we continue to betray, but still continues to come back to us? How do we love like that? How can we love so much that people around us get worried? You know, have you ever pondered upon that question? Has anyone been worried about your love for another? How can we love our enemies like God loves our enemies, like God loves us? Remember, we love because He first loved us. Why do we love recklessly? Because He first loved us recklessly. The message for you today is very simple and can be put in one sentence. Go and love recklessly. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the example that you have set before us. And we know, Lord, that your love speaks to all types of relationship. And Lord, I pray that you will give us the strength to follow after your example. And Lord, that even at times where it's so hard to love another, or at times that it's so hard to love you, Lord, may we be reminded that you loved us first and that you sent your Son to die for us. Lord, there's no greater love than that, than to lay down his one and only Son so that we can be saved. Bless your people. Bless this community. And Lord, may those outside, may the visitors who come in, may they truly see the love in us. May they truly see your love in us. Use us, O God. Use our love as a testimony. Use our life as a message to those who have not heard the gospel. We commit to you this day, and we celebrate your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Thank you. Okay.